Today's daf is Nida daf Yud Dalet. We are at the third wide line, the Mishnah on daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Zchus Refua Shleima for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza. Zok the Mishnah, HaChareshes, a woman that's a cheresh, v'hashoita, or she's a shoita v'hasuma, she's blind. V'shenitra for daita, which is like a shoita. The Gemara will explain what the difference is between shoita and nitra fadaita. Either way, if they have pikchos that can aid them and assist them, then they can do bedikos for them, says Rashi, and be matful them in a mikvah, and that will be matter them to be able to eat truma. In other words, the Mishnah is discussing women that are not capable of doing bedikos. They're not capable of going to the mikvah. A chareshes, a shoita, a nitchafadaita, these are women that are considered not b'nei das, they're not chayiv mitzvahs, they're not able to transact. As a result, how could they do a bedikah? How could they keep shivinikiyim? How could they go to the mikvah? So if they want to be with their respective husbands, or if they want to eat truma, things that require tahira, they'll need pikchos to assist them. Only then will they be considered pure. Says the Gemara, chareshes, you typically nafsha. A chareshes is not able to do a bedika. Why can't you do a bedika? The Tanya, we learned in a braisa. Oh, my Rebbe said, chareshes, hoyse b'shchun aseinu. There was a chareshes that lived in our neighborhood. Lo yidaya shebeidekes la'atzma. Not only would she do bedika, it's ela shechabreseh royes umarisla. But people used to bring her maris. She was the poisek. She was the moira hayra in the neighborhood. Either way, this was a chareshes. So you see, a chareshes is able to do a bediko. How does it chim with the Mishnah that says a chareshes im yesh lohem pikchos misak noisoyisam, says the Gemara, hasa b'maderes v'inidaberes v'inu shemas, hacha b'she'ena midaberes v'inu shemas. There's two types of chareshim in halacha. There's a cheresh that's midaber v'inu shemeya. That cheresh, even though or he or she is an Eina Shemeya, that cheresh has the halachic status of a regular bardas. The cheresh that's always treated as a lav bardas, the cheresh that comes together with a shoita and a katan in halacha, that's a cheresh she'ena shemeya ve'ena bedaber. Kedetanan, it's a mufurish mishnah. Cheresh de'bruchachamim b'chamakoyim ena shemeya ve'ena bedaber. Either way, when the Mishnah says a cheresh is can't do a bedika, cheresh is not able by herself to go to the mikvah, that's referring to a cheresh that's ena shemeya ve'ena bedaber. The cheresh that was in Rebbe's neighborhood where people used to bring her maris, she used to do her own bedikas, that was a chareshes that was only able to not hear, but she was able to talk. Either way, she was a medaber ve'ina shemeya. She has a loch of a bar das l'chol dover hamis suma. The Mishnah mentioned the suma. Feita gemara suma iu tivduk l'nafsha v'tachse v'chaberto. Why shouldn't a suma be able to do a bedika? Meaning a chareshes and a shoita, they could see. The reason they can't do a bedikah is because we don't trust them. The labnei das. But a suma is a bar das. And by the way, even though there's a shita's Rabbi Yehuda in Shas, who holds that a suma is patam in a mitzvah, Rabbi Yeruchim says, was also be chayish for this, shita's Rabbi Yehuda, l'chumra, is brought down by the poskim. But Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold that a suma is not a bar das. Rabbi Yehuda holds, based on drushes, sugis, and perak hachoyvel, and mesachtes bavakama, that a suma is potem in a mitzvah. But a suma is for sure a bardas. Nobody holds that a suma is not a bardas. So afraid the Gemara, why can't a suma do a bedika? Now it's true, the suma can't see the mara. The suma can't inspect the bedika cloth to know whether it was okay or not. But as far as the bedika itself goes, right, you have to take suma out of the Mishnah because there really is no reason that a suma shouldn't be able to do her own bedika. So the Mishnah said a chareshes, a shoita, a suma, and a nitcha fadaita. Freak the Gemara, hainu shoita, isn't a nitcha fadaita a shoita? So the Gemara says, yes, but not exactly the same. Because what nitcha fadaita means, machmas choyli, that the onset of it was some sort of illness, that's what caused it to be a shoita. The Mishnah has to speak out that a shoita is not able to do her own bedikos and go to the mikvah by herself, and a nitcha fadaita is going to be the same thing. It's actually interesting, the Mishnah mentions cheresh, shoita, suma, and nitcha fadaita. So the Gemara asks that shoita seems to be mentioned twice. You have shoita and you have nitcha fadaita. L'chura, there's also seemingly something missing from the Mishnah. And that is ketana. Right? Every time you have cheresh and shaita, you always have ketana. So how come the Mishnah doesn't mention anything about a ketana? A ketana, luchur, is also not a bastas. So if she's not a bastas, so luchur, a ketana should be mentioned. The achronim discuss it. Tanu rabbanon, koyin shaita, matbila noisai, umachila noisai truma. So the Mishnah was discussing the female. Here we're talking about a koyin, who's allowed to eat truma. The problem is the shaita. And because he's a shaita, so it's not so simple to give him truma, because how could you trust him? Maybe he's tamei, not tumas nida, but maybe he's tamei tumas keri, or maybe tumas ziva. So the halacha is that they had to force him to go to the mikvah. Only then, after he went to the mikvah and there was harav shemesh, would he be allowed to eat truma. But otherwise, we don't trust him. He's not allowed to eat truma. So matpila noisa, umachila noisa, truma la'erep, umashamra noisa. But they had to watch him from the time that he went to the mikvah until night, shelo yishan, that he shouldn't fall asleep. Yoshin, if he fell asleep, Tame. He was considered Tame again. He's Becheska's Tame. Because we're afraid that while he's sleeping, maybe he was Roya carrying it. But Yoshin, if he doesn't fall asleep, Tare is going to be Tare. No, what they used to do was, is they didn't just keep him up and rely on that, but rather they would make a kiss, like a pouch. It was made out of leather, and they would put it around his Aver Taiva, and like this, they would know if any carry came out. If any carry came out, it would be a it would be nicker on the kiss. And that's how Amr Loisa Chachamim told him, that doesn't seem like a good idea, because if you're going to put it next to the Aver, then it may cause the Aver to get hot and he's going to get excited, and that in and of itself may be a self-fulfilling prophecy. It may cause him to become Tommy. Amr Loisa told him, according to you, Shaita ain't like Takana. So what are we supposed to do with a Shaita? Amr Loisa said, no, we do have a Takana. Yashin Tommy, la Yashin Tar. There's an Eitzah. The Eitzah is just keep him awake. As long as we can keep him awake, that's enough of a Chazaka. And then the Chachamim added, and they told Rabbi Eliezer Barab Tzadik that Lidvarecha, I don't like your idea so much anyways, because number one, it's not a great idea because it's going to excite him, and besides, Shem Yira Tipa Kechardel V'Tivu V'Giz, maybe it's going to be absorbed in the kiss anyways. So your idea is not a perfect solution for sure, because number one, it may backfire. Number two, you're not necessarily going to be able to prove anything anyways, because maybe the carry is going to leave his body and it's going to end up being absorbed in the kiss. Chum said, our idea is a better idea, just keep him awake. As long as you keep him awake, there's a chazaka that he's clean. Tana Mishum Rabbi Lazar Amru Oysun Leikis Shal Matches. They say over the name Rabbi Lazar, he went Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Tzadik's Eitzah, which was Oysun Leikis, but not a kiss shal ar, rather a kiss shal matches. If it's the kiss is made out of metal, so then you don't have to be concerned. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Abaya explained this. He said, what type of metal? V'shon l'choshes. Davka copper. And the reason is, at the time we learned to the price. Yudam Reb Yudah says, Roy noise givon shel ezov, kilo ein shel l'choshes. So this is a halacha that discusses the tumah of the mechatos, of the Eifa Paraduma. So we said that the mechatos is a paradox, because on the one hand, it's an avatoma. If somebody touches it, he becomes tame. If somebody carries it, he becomes tame. Yet, if you sprinkle it on someone that's tame, tomas meis, that person becomes tahar. But the Mishnah, or this braisa that the Gemara is quoting, was discussing how you determine the shear of how much of this mechatas one would have to carry, tumas masa, in order for him to be considered tameh. So we take the amount of mechatas where after you stick the gevoilim, those are the grasses that were used to sprinkle onto the tameh meis, nothing of the mechatas would be absorbed into the gevoilim. Either way, the way we make the determinations, we make believe it was made out of copper. The reason copper is because copper doesn't absorb. The bottom line is that one of the issues with this kiss was that it's going to absorb potentially the zera. If it absorbs the zera, it's not going to accomplish anything. There'll be no way for us to know whether this kain shaita actually was raya keri. The eitzah is you make it out of nechoshes. We know from that obscure halacha in Hilchas Parah that nechoshes doesn't absorb. That's the way around the situation. Zokti Gemar, Amar Papa. Papa said, Shmamina. You see from this halacha, michnesayim asurim, that it's aser to wear pants. You're not allowed to wear pants. Why? Because if we have issues with putting this pouch around the person because we're afraid that it may cause chimum and it may make him aroused and excited and it may lead l'idei shivcha, we saw in this morning's daf how chamer this is. So based on that, said Rapapa, it's poshet that it should be awesome for a person to wear mikhs, fate to gemari, not to wear pants. Vaksiv, everybody knows, it says, Vasela have michna sebad, lechasis psar erva, mi mos naim, vadre chayim yiyu. It's a mafurish apostle in the Torah that the kayin had to wear four begadim, the kayin gadol had to wear shmoin the begudim, but Mechnasayim, pants, was one of the integral begodim that the Kohen used to wear. So if the Kohen's allowed to wear pants, obviously you are allowed. So the Gemara says, who could the Tanya? It's true. The Kohen wore pants, but his pants were not typical. What were they like? So these were like knee breeches of horsemen. Rashi has two pshatim what parashim is. Either it's Miloshin, Prushim, Tsnuim, or the parashim, the people that ride horses. Lamaila Adma Chasayim, Adma Snayim, they would extend upwards until his hips. Lamata Adri Echayim, downwards until the thighs. Yeshlem Shnotzim, they had drawstrings. But what we need, and this is the punchline really, Ve'ein lehem loy beis ha-nekev loy beis ha-erva. When it came to the beis ha-nekev, that's the ever in the beis ha-erva, those areas, they were very, very baggy. Because they were very baggy, so this cheshash wouldn't be a cheshash. In other words, what the Gemara seems to be saying is if the pants are so baggy that there's no beis ha-nekev, no beis ha-erva, you look at the person, you have no idea, it's so baggy, so b'kahai gavna, it's not going to be an issue. Otherwise, it sounds like from the Gemara that really it would be usher for a person to wear pants. Believe it or not, this halach is brought down a Shulchan Aruch. It's a Mefurish Ramah in Evin Ezer, Simen Chaf Gimel. That's where all these halachas of Daf Yud Gimel and Daf Yud Dalet are discussed. The Gemara Perikol Hayad Mashma. This is an uncharacteristic the long Ramah. In Perek Kol Hayad, that's the Perek we're learning right now. It's Mashma, the Asa Lubach Mechnasayim. They're not allowed to wear pants. Lo Yasuyin Kibote Shukayim. Unless they're extremely baggy. Mishum de Mevili de Ashchas Azera. Vavu Bisha Esh Shalitcha is to be Gemara Lekama Elabim Mayim. Maybe the Gemara man, Davkin those days, Shahayilahem Shruma, where they used to eat Shruma, the Ikala Mechus or Tumas Agov. So you have to worry then about Tumas Agov. Become Maka, but says the Ramah. Even though you could say that it was all because of the Chumras of Truma that these Alachas were stated. But it's not mashma that way. The heavier rush bepsakov, because the rush brings this mashma da'af bizman hazeh aser, that this halacha wasn't just true then, but this halacha is going to be true bizman hazeh as well. Either way, that's what the Ramah says. And at first glance, this seems to be a halacha. So if you look around in the just here on the Noisa Kalem on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, so one of the Mefarshim is the Ezer Mikoidesh. So the Ezer Mikoidesh says as follows. He says, Oidois Iser Michnasayim, that the Shulchan Aruch brings this halacha. So he says that you probably have to say that even though the Gemara said that the only time it was mutter was kegoyin the michnasayim that the kohanim wore, where they were extremely baggy, and he says today in Poland the bendin asenu nobody wears pants like that. He said probably the Beis Hamikdash was more chamer. This is his lashon. He said because gabi kohanim hoyezel liyisroin hechsher v'shmira meula biyoyser me'emas mikdash. Because the Kehanim were in the Beis HaMikdash. So in the Beis HaMikdash, you needed the Shmira Yisera. But the terence of the Gemara maybe was not that it has to be so baggy in order for it to be mutter. It can't be too tight, says the Ezer Mikoidesh. Because if the beged, the pants are going to rub against the body, then clearly if there's going to be any chichuch, that will be an issue, ayin sham. But maybe the only reason the Gemara made an ekimta of the Mechnasayim of the Beis HaMikdash, that they were so baggy, wasn't simply to alleviate this issue. Because maybe b'mdinaseinu b'poilim, it wouldn't have to be that baggy. There in the Beis HaMikdash, it was more chamer. What came to mind was the Meshech Chachma. But the Meshech Chachma says, sak for the Shasa Rigla. We spoke this out not that long ago. I think in the end of Masechtas, Krisos, or maybe Tmura, or one of the small Masechtas that we learned not so long ago, where the Meshech Chachma said, sak for the Shasa Rigla, that Yontif is a time where people are olol to come to the Avera of Arayis. That's why you have Bahab right after Yontif Tosfos says it's because of Sakfid the Shasa Rigla. Meir Simcha says a beautiful pshat. He says because Yofa Torim Derech Eretz Sheigia Shnei Mishkachas Avon. So he says on Yontif you have Torah but you don't have Derech Eretz because you're not allowed to work on Yontif. You're not allowed to work on Shabbos. So Sakfid the Shasa Rigla because you don't have Torah in Derech Eretz. You only have Torah and you don't have the Yigia Shnei Mishkachas Avon. Says the Meshech Chachman Parshas Kedoshim that it's for that reason Sakfid the Shasa Rigla. So he says the same is true in the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash was a where all there was Kedusha, but there was no Derech Eretz, it was Kiyana Bavidasam, Ulaviyam Bashirim, Uvizimri, but there was nobody working. And because nobody was working, you didn't have the mission of Yafa Torim Derech Eretz, Shigish, Nehemishkacha Savin. That's why a person was more olo in the Beis HaMikdash to come to an Aver of Arayas. He says, that's the Pshat in the Bnei Eli. He says, that's why the Pasuk says, the Malar Zima, and right afterwards it talks about Mikdash Aitiro, Veshapsoi Saitishmayru, because Mikdash is a place where there was Torah B'loi Derech Eretz. Shabbos is a time, it's a Zman,
where there's Torah and there's no Derech Eretz. Umolaret Zima. Those are the two times that a person has to be most careful when it comes to Inyanei Arayis. Either way, in the Beis HaMikdash, it's more olol to come with the Arayis. So in the Beis HaMikdash, the Michnasayim had to be baggier. What's the Yisoid? It's Shemhir Chimum. That's what we're discussing. So in the Beis HaMikdash, precisely had to be more chomer. But says the Izmi Kodesh, it could be, although, of course, you take away halacha that you're not allowed to wear Michnasayim if they're too tight. That sounds like for sure is also la halacha. But to be as baggy as the Michnasayim of the Beis HaMikdash, could be that was a special shmira for the Kehanim that were in the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Abaya. Abaya said, Me inyan le inyan, but oisa in roich ve gmalin, asurim lecho b'truma. People that ride on camels are not allowed to eat truma. What's the reason, says Rashi? Evoreya mischamimim bebasar hagomel umaitziyim zera. Because the nature is that the person may get excited from the basar of the gomel, and may lead for him to be moitzi zera. As a chumra for truma, any person that rides a camel is not allowed to eat truma. Tani nami hachi roich ve'gmalim kulam rishayim. All the roich ve'gmalim were considered rishayim. It's for this reason. Hasaponim kulam tzadikim. Sailors were all tzadikim, says Rashi. Shedarim besakana v'libam la'avim shemeshavayim. Simply because they live in a foxhole. They live in a very dangerous place. And as a result, they're always davening. They're always saying tehillim. They're always benching a goymul. So that's tzadikim. Hachamorim, people that ride donkeys, there was some here already. It's hard to generalize. You can't stereotype. There were people that rode donkeys, donkey riders that were Rishon. There were donkey riders that were tzaddikim. Ikadam Rishon say, Hademakiv, Vahadoloi Makiv. What does it depend on? If there was a saddle on the donkey, so then the person that rides the donkey is not necessarily a Rasha, because the saddle is going to interfere between the basar of the donkey and the person. He's not going to come lidei chimum. He won't come lidei zera levatala. Hadolei makiv. If, however, he's riding directly on the donkey, then he's no different than the camel rider who's riding directly on the camel. In that case, you would have to be concerned. Igadami, some say hadem mitartein, hadolei mitartein. No, the difference is how exactly are you riding on the donkey? Are you riding on it where you have your right foot on the right side and your left foot on the left side, or are the two legs both on the same side? If your legs are spread, one foot on one side, the other foot on the other side, that's where there's a chashash, even if it's a donkey. If, however, the two legs are on the same side, then you don't have to worry. Again, me inyan le inyan ba'isa inyan. Reb Shua ben Levi la'it aman degani aparki. Reb Shua ben Levi cursed, literally, anyone that sleeps on his back. What's the problem with sleeping on your back? So Rashi says two pshatim. One pshat Rashi says the gnusu. It's a gnus. Shepamim sheiskasha eva b'toich shinasai. Because sometimes a person's aver may become hard while he's sleeping, and if somebody sees him lying on his back in that state, it's a dover shel gnus. Va'oid, another reason is sheyadam munachas le'alivari u'mischamim, that if he's going to be lying in a way where his aver is going to be exposed to him, it may come with a chimum, again, to a rizal, to taiva, and for the same reason, the reich ve'gmalim were considered rishon. For the same reason, you're not allowed to wear a tight pair of pants. There's also an issue for a person to lie in bed on his back. Faith the Gemara, is that true? Eini. But Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said, praktum la'yikra krishma. A person is not allowed to link krishma while he's lying on his back. Krishma la'yikra. Or migdal shapardom. It sounds like he only just not allowed to link krishma, but if you want to just lie that way, not link krishma, it's fine. So the Gemara says, le'inyin migdal kimatzli shapardom. Le'inyin krishma kimatzli aser. Now, there's two types of lying on your back. A person could be lying on his back where he's a little bit inclined to one side, or you could be lying on your back, just lying on your back. To lie on your back, not to the side, that's something that's always aser. To lie on your back to your side is not aser, unless you're laying in krishma, you be makabel or malchus shemayim, then it's going to be a problem. Rabbi Yochanan matzav ikari krishma. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan was seen lying little to his side, and he was laying in Kriyishma. I told you you're not allowed to do it when you're laying in Kriyishma. So the Gemara famously says, Shani Rabbi Yochanan the Balbasar, Rabbi Yochanan was a Balbasar, and he was heavy, and it was very difficult for him to turn to his side. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan is an exception to this halacha. There's a lot to talk about, but let's finish the daf, and then we'll come back to the raid. Zok the Mishnah, Derech Bnois Yisrael, Misham Shois, Bishnei. The Derech of the Bnois Yisrael was that when they did Tashmish, they had two Edim, they had two cloths, Echad Loi, one was for him, the Echad Loi, and the other one was for her. Of course, we're talking about not just any woman, but an Isha, that's a Sekis Betairis, Mishnah Sena Naf Yud Aleph, the Chachamim imposed some extra Bedikos. One was a basic Bedikos Shachris Ubein Ashmashis, the other one was Bedikos around the time of Tashmish, says the Mishnah that as it relates to the Tashmish Bedikos, there were two, Echad Loi ve'Echad Loi. Then the Mishnah continues and says, V'hat Tznuois, as it relates to the Tznuois, Misaknoi Shlishi L'Sakin Es Abayis. They used to bring a third one that they used before Tashmish, meaning, Derech Bnei Yisroel M'Shamshis B'Shnei Idem Echad Loi ve'Echad Loi was for after Tashmish. In addition to that, there was a third one that was used by the Tznuois, and that was used Dafka before Tashmish. Now, at first glance, it's Mashmah from the Mishnah that only the Tznuois used a Bedika before Tashmish. But the women that were not Tznuois did not do a Bedika before Tashmish. So the Mishnah, Daf Yud Aleph, Amar Aleph said that there was a Chiyuv to do a Bedika, both Lifnei Tashmish and both Lacha Tashmish. The Gemara in Daf Yud Beis, Amar Aleph, asked the Kasha, and the Gemara said, two Terutzim. One Teretz, the Gemara says, it's true, there's a Chiyuv. But at the end of the day, not everybody did it. The Tznuis were the ones that observed it. You're right, the Mishnah, Daf Yud Aleph, said, you have to do it. The Mishnah, Daf Yud Aleph, says, the Tznuis did it. But like Kasha, you have to do it, the Tznuis did it. As I talked to Gemara. Alternatively, the Gemara said that it could be everyone did it. Not only the Tznuis. The Tznuis had a Chumrah. Their Chumrah was that they would bring a separate aid for every Tashmish. Meaning, Mi'ikar Adin, if a woman uses a Bedika cloth and it was clean, she could technically reuse it. But the Tznuis, they had a Chumrah. They didn't want to reuse it because they were afraid that maybe there was a Tipas Dam Kechardel that would get covered by some of the discharge that's on the cloth. The bottom line is that that's maybe what the Tznuis did. But that was already discussed in the previous parak. Nimsal Shaloi. What happens if right after Tashmish, the man found on his Bedika cloth Dam, which means it came from his Aver, which now presumes that maybe at the time of the Bia, his wife was a Nida. So the Aloch is Tamei, they're both Tamei. Not only they're both Tamei, the Chayov and Karban, they have to bring a Karban Chatos, because we're Bevadai going to assume that the Dam was there at the time of the Bia, and as a result, he was a Bayal Nida. Now he did a B'Shoigig, but Nida is a chayvei krisus. If it's a chayvei krisus, if you do it b'shoigig, you'd have to bring a carbon chat. Nimsa shalom. What happens if she finds it on her bedika cloth? So this halacha is different. Meaning, if it's on his bedika cloth, for sure it's a problem. If it's on hers, oisiyoy. If she found it right away, we'll see what that means. Tamei v'chayavim a carbon. That way, assume she's tamei, and they both have to bring a carbon. Nimsa shalom. If, however, she finds it on her cloth, but la'achazman, she doesn't find it right away, then tamei misafik. Then they're only going to be tamei misafik. Upturim in a carbon, and being that it's only misafik, there's no chiv carbon. The only time you bring a carbon chatos is if you vadai were over a chayvi krisus peshoigig. But being that over here it's only a safik chayvi krisus peshoigig, so for that reason, the halach is you're not going to bring a carbon chatos. Now, upturim in a carbon is mashma that you don't even bring an ashram tali. What's the kasha? Lechura, you should have to bring an ashram tali because it's a safik chayvi krisus peshoigig. So what happened to the halacha of Ashram Tali? The Gemara is going to ask that kasha. Ezeu achazman. So again, if the man does a bedika, which he's supposed to do, and he finds dam on the beged, so what's the halacha? They both have to bring a karban chatas. If the woman does a bedika and you find dam, if she finds it right away, you have to bring a karban chatas. If she doesn't find it right away, then it's only a safik, and mimele you don't have to bring a karban chatas. So what's the definition of oisyoim, meaning right away, or achazman? Ezeu achazman. If the amount of time that it would take her to get off the bed and for it to clean paneh, that's a euphemism, that would already be considered the time of lachazman. Again, the Gemara will explain this. Either way, what if she finds it after that? So the halach is matamim yesleis, you have tumul mafreya, as in nida dapes, the first Mishnah. A woman does a bedika and she finds dam, so the halach is this tumul yesleis, for ina matamim yesboyala. However, the tumul mafreya was limited, and one of its limitations are that you don't have any tumah for the bayal nidah. Ordinarily, if someone's bayal nidah, he becomes tummy as well. But the hanach, the tumah me'es le'es, the rabbanon, they never extended it to the halacha of being metama or bayal nidah. Rabbi Kiva says, no, af metama is bayal. When the chamal of Rabbi Kiva, b'raya kesem, she metama is bayal. If a woman finds a kesem, and there was a bia in the tkufa of l'mafreya, then everybody would agree that there would be tumas boil nida. Again, the Gemara is going to discuss everything that we just said. Either way, so the Mishnah had said that the halacha is that a woman that's oisekes betahairois, so they have to do bedikos after Tashmish. He has to have a bedika cloth. She has to have a bedika cloth. Each person does a bedika. If he finds it on his cloth, We know for sure that it was there b'shas bia, and if it was there b'shas bia, the halachas means a karbon chatas. Meaning, even though he doesn't know for sure that she was a nida, it's not pshat he saw dam at the time of the bia. He found it on the b'dikah cloth, but that's in and of itself enough of a raglayim l'dover. If it was on his cloth or if it was on hers, oisyaim, the halacha is we know we're so positive. You can bring a carbon chatas. There's nothing to worry about. There's no chulam azar. Fein to gemara. Is it so sure? V'necho is dom adam achaylasu. How do you know? Maybe the dam came from a louse. So once upon a time, lice were a very big part of everyday life. And the gemara says that maybe the dam came because the man killed the louse b'shazbia. And maybe that's where the dam came from. Rab Zeira said, Oysa Makam, by the way, it's Machilas. There are no lice in that area, meaning in the Oysa Makam of the Isha. So you don't have to be concerned that maybe that's where the dam came. Ikadami, some say, not Oysa Makam, by the way, it's Machilas, but rather similar, but not the same, Dachuk, way to Machilas. The area is Dachuk. It's a little too crowded for a louse to go in. So it's not the Pshat, there's no lice, but Oysa Makam, but to be inside the woman, that's very far fetched. Doesn't work. Might be now. It can be now. The one says the wood chapan afkamina. The shtakich machoilus ritzuf. What would be if they found a crushed louse on the cloth? And it was that Rashi says a little far away. According to Lashon that says that badeku, there's never ever a louse by samakim hamayal maasai. Even though you have a dead louse on the bedika cloth. And there's dam a little away, you'd still assume that the dam came from the nida. Lahach nishta dam adachuk. According to Rav Nachman that says that no, really sometimes there are lice there. It's just that it's dachuk. In this case, when you found the crush louse, you would assume just the most reasonable. Trying to figure out what's the most reasonable thing that may have taken place over here. So if there's never lice by some makim, so you're not going to attribute the dam to the louse. And it's a chiddush, because even though the louse is on the beged, it's dead, but it's on another part of the beged. It's a little tzarech bir, but that's what the Gemara said. If, however, we say there are lice ba'isim makim, it's just dachuk, so over here, where you found it crushed, so then the assumption is that maybe it was ba'isim makim, because sometimes it's ba'isim makim. It got crushed because the aver, the shamish, is what crushed it. Regardless, that's enough of an umdana to assume that maybe the dam came from the machoilas. It's not damnid. In that case, she would not be able to bring her carbon. Itmar, but what happens if a woman used the bedika cloth to do an inspection and she didn't look at the cloth? So she did a bedika and she didn't look at the bedika cloth. And then she took the cloth and she pressed it on her thigh. Lamachar, the next day she woke up. And matzala adam, and she looked at her thigh, the place where she had pressed the bedika cloth. And she saw blood on her thigh. Amar Rav. Rav says, Tmeya Nida. The halacha is, she's a Nida. With not only is she a Nida, she's a Vaday Nida. Because we assume for sure that how did the blood get on her thigh? It came from the bedika cloth. How did the blood get on the bedika cloth? It came from the bedika. Oh, so you see clearly she did a bedika. Woman does a bedika. And there's dam. She's a Vaday Nida. There's a chazaka, even though she didn't feel hargasha. So in that case, the halacha, she's going to be a Vaday Nida. Amalei Rav Simibar. Chia v'achishesh es amrlam. So Simibar Chia told Rav, didn't we hear from you that she only has to be chayish, that maybe she's only a Sufik Nida, not a Vaday Nida? So the Gemara says, yeah. V'chit marnami omash shmul t'mei Nida. Either way, a discussion whether she's a Vaday Nida or whether she's only a Safik Nida. Itmar, but go the Hbalik law. What happens if a woman did a bedika, but she did it with a bedika cloth that previously had not been inspected? So she took a bedika cloth that she doesn't know for sure is clean. And then she does a bedika. Then she put it away. She put it in a place that was guarded. That's not really part of the narrative. She just put it away. Maybe it was dark. In the olden days, there's no electricity. She had to wait until the next morning to take a look at the cloth. Either way, lamachar, the next day, she takes a look at the cloth, matzal of dam, and she found blood on it. So here she did a bedika, but she didn't make sure before she did the bedika that the bedika cloth was clean. Then later, she found dam. So what's the safik? Did the dam come from the bedika? Or maybe the dam had been there previously. She hadn't inspected the bedika cloth before she did the bedika. I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, "Kol yom avsho Rav Chiya time." Rav Chiya's whole life, whenever somebody presented him with such a shaila, you'll see from the Gemara, it sounds like this was a story that this was a davar shchiach. So any time somebody would ask Rav Chiya the shaila time, he would say it's tami le'isik nasai. But when Rav Chiya got older, he had a koyach that teira and this halacha tier, he was mitai. Says what exactly does this mean? Do we mean that Rav Chiya used to say his whole life, Tomei vadai mishum nida, uleisik nasei tier mishum nida. Leisik nasei, he was meikel, meaning he said she's not for sure nida, but v'timei mishum kesem, but we're going to treat it no different than a kesem. In this case, meaning Look at Rashi. Kesem koloimar. We're using that word loosely. Tumma sofik, meaning Reb Chiya used to say tamei vaday, and then he lightened his psak a little bit. He said tamei sofik. Oidomo, maybe no. Maybe koloyama of timei mishum kesem. Even the koloyama when he was machmer, he was only machmer misofik. Uleisik nasei tiyam evloy klom. And then when he got older, he said it's 100% tar. So the Gemara says tashma. I'll bring you a raya from a brisa. The Tanya badko beeche in a badukla. V'nichsei bekufso ulamachem atz all of that. Mamashar shayla. A woman did a badika with a badika cloth that she didn't inspect prior. And then she put it away, she wakes up the next morning and there's dam. What's the safik? Did the dam come from the bedika, or was the dam there previously? After all, this was a bedika cloth that had never been properly inspected. Rebbe says, Tmei Mishum Nida. Rebbe said she's Tamei Mishum Nida. Rebbe said, Tmei Mishum Kesem. That she's only going to be Tamei Mishum Kesem. Only Rebbe told Rebbe, Iyata Moida, Shet Sricha Kegris Va'oid. Aren't you Moida that the only time she's going to be Tamei is if the amount of dam that she found on this cloth was the size of a gris or more? Now, what's the significance of a gris? So this is Ksamim 101, because any time it's less than a gris, there's a concern that maybe it came from a machoilus, this infamous louse that we just discussed earlier. If it's more than a gris, then it for sure didn't come from a machoilus. That's the only time you have to be concerned for ksamim. So Reb Chiya told Rabbi, he says, Rabbi, aren't you masking to me that if it's less than a gris, you're going to be toiled in a machoilus, and in that case, the halach is going to be that it's going to be tar? I'm like, Aval, which means in Aramaic, what does Aval mean sometimes? Avol means what it usually means, and sometimes it means yes, hein, be'emes, zok Rashi. Amaloisim kenev ata asusa kesem. So if you're telling me that the only time it's going to be a problem if it's a shear of a gris, that means you're not treating it like a regular vaday nida, you know for sure it came from the bedika, because if it came from the bedika, who cares how much dam there is? Elamai, you're looking at it as a suffix. If it's a suffix, we're saying the same thing. I mean, Reb Chiya said it's a suffix. Rebbe said vaday. So Reb Chiya told Rebbe, I don't understand. If it's less than a gris, are you moida, it's tahar? Yeah. He says, okay, then obviously you're not vaday. Because if you hold it's vaday, then if vaday came from the bedika, then what's this? Rebbe Sava, Rebbe says, no. Rebbe said, I agree. There is a tzad machoilus, but that's the only other tzad. Once it's more than a gris, and I know it's not from the machoilus, then for sure, meaning Rebbe told Reb Chiya, a maskim kol kama, there's a possibility of machoilus, it's going to be tar. But the rega we know it's not from a machoilus, what is the other possibility? There was for sure bedika. So then I hope for sure it came from the bedika. Once it for sure came from the bedika, in that case she's going to be vaday tami, says the Gemara. So here we have an exchange between Reb Chiya and Rebbe. Rebbe Shita is, in this case, where a woman does a bedika with a cloth that was not baltic and she finds dam, so she's vaday nida. What does Reb Chiya hold? Tumas Kesem. What does Tumas Kesem mean? Zok Rashi, Koloima, the bottom Rashi, Tumas Sofik for toilet. Meaning we look at it as a Tumas Sofik. Says the Gemara, we have a Reb Chiya where he said Tumas Kesem. Now, my love is a Knusai Koi. This story for sure happened when Reb Chiya was older. And if you see that Reb Chiya, when he was older, held that it's still going to be Tomei Tumas Kesem, that means Habi Yaldusai. When he was more machmer, when he was younger, the chumra must have been timei mishum nida, that it was vaday tamei shma mina. Meaning, we know Reb Chiya became more meiko when he became older. The shaila was what was the before and after? What was the before chumra and the after kula? Was the before chumra vaday nida? The after kula was safik nida, or was the before chumra safik nida? The after kula tahar. Says the Gemara, I have a raya. Because I have a braisa where Reb Chiya said, Sofik Tomei, and this for sure was the after. This was Reb Chiya, an Altayid Reb Chiya. This wasn't a young Reb Chiya. This was an older Reb Chiya. And if you have an older Reb Chiya saying Kesem, so you see then that that's the after in Reb Chiya. That's the Kula. The Kula is Kesem, which means the Chumra is Nida Vade. What's the obvious question? Mechatesi. How do you know this braisa with Reb Chiya was when Reb Chiya was older? Maybe this braisa Reb Chiya took place when Reb Chiya was older. So Rashi asks the Kasha, and Zok Rashi, mid the polygolad the Rebbe Rabbi. Because we know Rebbe was Reb Chiya's Rebbe. Rebbe was Reb Chiya's Rebbe. So how could Reb Chiya argue with Rebbe? Must be he was already older. And Le'esa Knusoy, who was allowed to argue with Rebbe. Frank Toysvis, Ve'ei Nira, the Matzino Harbe Talmidim, Shechol Penal Rabban B'Yaldusan. There's many Gemaras where you find that there were Talmidim and Rabbeim that they used to argue, and even if the Talmud was young. So because Reb Chiya argued with Rebbe, that's a riot that he was older when he said this halacha. Says Toysvis that for that reason, you have to say a different shot. You have to say, it's because the Gemara says, Mesach Tesugad Apchav, that there were three times that Torah was forgotten in Eretz Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Hashkocha, had a fear that somebody would come from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, to literally reteach Klal Yisrael Torah. One of them was Bimei Reb Chiya. The Gemara says, Chazro v'neshtakcha olu Reb Chiya u'mana v'yastua. So it says Taisus, you see from here that when Reb Chiya was young, he was living in Bavel. Reb Chiya didn't meet Rebbe until years later when he came to Eretz Yisrael. That's when he met Rebbe. See, he didn't know Rebbe b'yaldusai. He only knew Rebbe b'ziknusai. If that's the case, it must be that this story happened b'ziknusai. Taisus has another pshat. Either way, Zok de Gemara v'ayta m'shtabachle Rebbe l'Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi. Rab Chama Bar Bisa the Adam Gadol. So there's a lot of names here. Rebbe was talking to Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yosi, as in Rabbi Shmuel, the son of the Tanya Rabbi Yosi. And he told him about a Yid Rab Chama Bar Bisa, and he said, this Yid Rab Chama Bar Bisa is an Adam Gadol. Amaloi. So Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yosi told Rebbe, look, Kishayav Liyachin, the next time he comes to, have you all the Yadi? I want to meet him. Kiyasa, he came to him. Amaloi, boy, minoy milsa. So Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yosi turned to Rab Chama Bar Bisa. He was the person that Rebbe was very impressed with, and he said, ask me a kasha. Right, so sometimes you meet an Adam Chasha, you ask him a kasha. Here it was just the opposite. Right, a good lamban has to be able to ask a good kasha. So he said, let me hear a good shayla. So the Gemara says, he asked him this question, but it was a bdikah that wasn't clean, or it wasn't becheskas badak. And then she found out. So do you assume that the dam is there from previously, or no, that it came from the bdikah? So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi turned to Rabbi Chama Rabbi Bisa, and he told him like this, kedivrei Abba, do you want me to tell you what my father held, as in the great Rabbi Yosi? Or kedivrei Rebbe? Or do you want me to tell me what Rebbe held? So Amalei say, told him, kedivrei Rebbe, Emily. I want you to tell me what Rebbe holds. I'm Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel said, Zeil Shaimer Olav the Adam Gadolu. This is the Adam Gadol that Rebbe was raving about. Heichman Ichan Divrei Rabbi Shemim Divrei Talmud. Rabbi Yosi was Rebbe's Rebbe. And if that's the case, you want to hear from Rebbe? But I'm telling you from Rabbi Yosi, the Rebbe. Why do you want to hear from the Talmud? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Chama Rabbi Bisa Sav, Rabbi Chama Rabbi Bisa held, Rebbe Reish Mesiftahu. A Rebbe was a Reish Mesifta, he had a yeshiva. V'shchichi Rabbanan Kameh, listen to this, and Memele used to learn b'chabura with all the lomdim in yeshiva, u'mechadadi shmaitzeh. And he felt that because of that, he was more charif than Rabbi Yosi. See, even though Rebbe was technically a Talmud of Rabbi Yosi, but Rabbi Chama Rabbi Bisa held that Rebbe was more oiskehalten than Rabbi Yosi and halacha. He wanted to hear what Rebbe had to say. He didn't want to hear so much what Rabbi Yosi had to say. Says the Gemara, either way, my Rebbe, you my Rabbi Yosi. Meaning until now, we had the Rabbi Chiya before, the Rabbi Chiya after. We're not sure what the before and after was. Then we had a brisa that discussed an exchange between Rabbi Chiya and Rebbe as it relates to this halacha. Here, we seem to have a new machloikis, or new names to the machloikis, and that is Rebbe and Rabbi Yosi. Says the Gemara, what's this Rebbe? What's this Rabbi Yosi? Amr Avadavar Masna, Ton. Rebbe, Metama, Rabbi Yosi, Metar. It's before the brisa. Rebbe said, Tome. Rabbi Yosi said, Tom. Amr Avzeiro. Rabbi Zeiro said, Kshetim Rebbe, Kramer. Kshetim Rabbi Yosi, La'atzmetir. When Rebbe said, Tome, he was following a certain chumrah of Rameir. We'll see what that is in a second. Kshetim Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi said, Tor. It was La'atzmetir. It was Rabbi Yosi, L'shitasai. He was Mekel somewhere else. He was being Mekel here. Hani, we learned to the brisa. Isha, a woman was going to the bathroom. And while she was urinating, she saw dam. The question is, do we assume that this is dam nita? Or maybe, being that she saw it at the time that she was urinating, we attribute it to coming from the mokim of the meiraglayim, and that's not dam nida. Says the Gemara, it depends. Remeir says, imay medes tmeh. If she was standing, she's tamei. Imay yeshevas tahir. If she was sitting, then she's going to be tamei. Meaning, if she's sitting, then it for sure came from her mokim meiraglayim. If it came from there, then it didn't come from the uterus. It's not going to be considered dam nida. If she's standing, then it's a chashash. Rashi says the kimun de tchukahi. Hadar meiraglayim lemakar. That apparently there's some mitzias that when she's standing, the meiraglayim goes back to the makar, the uterus, va'isi dam, and it brings blood back with it. Somehow there's a mitzias that if a woman's standing and urinating, there's a chashash. And Rameh was so worried about it that Rameh said to me, Rabbi Yosi said, benkachu benkach toira. That in both cases, she's going to be tahar. So what does that have to do with this sugya? Says the Gemara, no, the tzushtal is that just like Rameh was machmer over there, that when she's standing, we assume it's dam nida, Rameh would be machmer over here. Rameh would say tome. So Rebbe, that was machmer, is going b'shitas Rameh, that was machmer. And Rabbi Yosi, who was Mekel over there with regards to this woman that's standing, and she saw Dam, we're going to be Toila Lekula. Take a look at Rashi. Here too, we're going to be Toila Bekula as well. Freik de Gemara, Amalei Rav Achabrei de Rav the Rav Ashi, Va'am Rabbi Yosi Rav Chanina, Kshetim Rav Meir, Loitim Ela Mishom Kesem. How can you tell me that Rebbe was going like Shetis Rav Meir? Even Rav Meir was only Metama Mishom Kesem. Again, what does that mean? Tumas Sofik. Vilu Rebbe Mishum Nida Kama. Rebbe said Nida, which is Mashba Tumas Vaday. So Rebbe and Remeir, even though they're both being Machmer in their respective Hilchas Nida Shailas, but you can't say that they're saying the same thing. Amalesi told them, you're right. Anan Hochi Kam Rinon. Ki Itmar Hahi Mishum Nida Itmar. We have a different version of Remeir. We hold that Remeir held not Tomi Mishum Kesam, Tomi Mishum Nida. And if that's the case, Remeir was Metama Mishum Vaday, Rebbe was Metama Mishum Vaday. It could be that they're saying one and the same thing. Just a drop more Gemara. Nimtzal Shalah Oisyam Timayim. So if the man does the Bedika, which he's supposed to do, Be'isha Shaisakas Bataris, and he finds them, he's going to bring a carbon chatas. If the woman does it, it depends. If she finds it right away, it's a problem. If she finds it, La'achar zman, then not. Tanu Rabbanon, Ezu Shir Veses, what does immediately mean? Mashal L'shamash V'ed Sha'in V'tzad HaMashkeh. We saw this already. The mashal is to the shamash, that's the Ever HaTaiva, the Eid is the Badika cloth. They're both there, B'tzad HaMashkeh, that's the Isa Makum of the Isha. B'tzad shamash Nichnaseh. The bedika would have to be done literally the second after the Yetziyah Shamash. Which means, says the Gemara, it's not even possible to do a bedika. You can't do it so fast. So it must be, it would be a kinuach. So if the Isha did a kinuach immediately after, and she found them, that would be considered already a shir veses. Then you would bring a chatas if she found them. Otherwise, there's going to be no carbon. Nimtzal shalol achasman. So the Mishnah said, patim ena carbon. Tana, the chayavim ashram talia. Brisa said, no, you're not patim from carbon. It's just a different carbon. You don't bring a carbon chatas because you don't bring a chatas if there was a vaday chayvi krisis. Over here, it's only a suffix. Being that it's only a suffix, you're going to bring a different carbon. Which carbon? The ashram tali. Tanya demai taima. Why did the Tanya of our Mishnah say you don't bring any carbonas? You should bring an ashram tali. The Gemara says, bina chaticha mishtei chatichas, because you need chaticha mishtei chatichas, which you don't have over here. And it's for that reason you're going to be potter from bringing all carbonas. Meaning, this shaila of whether or not you'd bring an Ashram Tali, in this case of Safik, is Tali in, when do you bring an Ashram Tali? So, loosely, if someone has a Safik, if he was over a Chayvi Krisis B'Shoigik, but there's a Mandama that says that, that's only true if there was Vaday a Chayvi Krisis in front of you, you have a Safik if you were Nichshol in it. So, for example, if you have one piece of meat, you're not sure if it's Chaylev, which is Chayvi Krisis or Shulman, and you eat it B'Shoigik, you don't bring an Ashram Tali, because it could be there's no Chaylev here at all. Where you have two chatichas, one is chedav, one is shuman, and you have a suffix, which one you ate, it's a schazik yisura. In this taroivis, there's for sure an iser chavi krisis in front of you. Then when you have a suffix, and you do a peshaigig, that's when you bring the ashram tali, as we learned together not so long ago, bar chava, in the sechtes krisis exel. Either way, just to end the daf with four tshuvas from the chsam zayfer, we'll see if we have time for them. Either way, so we mentioned a Gemara. Gemara said, regarding the Gamolin, Omer Abaya. Abaya said, Roichve Gamalin Asurim Lachal Truma. People that ride camels are not allowed to eat Truma. Tanya Nami Hochi, Roichve Gamalin Kulam Rishon. They're all Rishon. Why? Because they're Nichshol in the Isser of Hitzah Zera Livatola. It's for that reason that Becheska is Tomei, they can't eat Truma. It's for that reason they're also treated as Rishon. Hasafonim Kulam tzadikim, people that were sailors were tzadikim because they're always davening, just simply to stay alive. Hachamarim, people that rode donkeys, mehen risham, mehen tzadikim. But either way, what we need for the raid is the roichve gemalim with kulam risham. Break Tosfos Akasha, the second Tosfos on the Yomid im Toima. The Aminam Beperek Asora Yuchsim gemalim ruban ksherim. Chamorim Rubam listed. The context over there is a well-known Gemara, the last Mishnah Masechtas Kedushin, where the Mishnah discusses that every father has an obligation to teach his son an umnis. And Rameir said, "Lo olam yilamid adam es benoy umnis nikiyah v'kalo." And then he went on to discuss different types of jobs and umniyos. So earlier in the week, we spoke about the beer industry. But over here, we have different businesses. What's considered an umnis? Nekiyah v'kalah. So in that context, Rabbi Yehuda, Imam Mishmai, Rabbi Yehuda said over in the name of Abagurya, Hachamorim Ruben Rishon, Vagamolim Ruben Kshay. But either way, Freik Tois Avastira. Here you have a Gemara that says that the Gamolim were all Rishayim. And here you have a Mishnah that says that the Gamolim were Ruben Kshay. So Tois says that you have to say that there's two types of Gamolim. There were Gamolim that rode the camels, and then there were Gamolim that would ship merchandise on the camels. The ones that physically rode the camels, they're Rishon. The ones that were just in the business, but they weren't physically riding it, mean that they themselves never came to the Aver of Zerah Levatola. So for them, it's not necessarily going to be a problem. But the Rashba says something interesting. The Rashba asks the Kasha as well.
Hagmalim kulam rishon. Zokter Rashba pirish rishoyim bedover zeh. As it relates to that, they're rishon. Habemili da alma tzadikim nenu. But it could be as it relates to everything else that tzadikim. Kedamina beperak asar yuchsin hagemalim kulam tzadikim. So says the Rashba, I don't think it's a stira. Rishoyim means as it relates to this avera. In this inyan, they're rishoyim. Avol bemili di alma, as it relates to everything else, tzadikim nenu. It's a mishnah hagemalim kulam tzadikim. It's amazing. It's possible to somehow bifurcate that somebody could be a rasha with regards to this inyan of chimum of Zera Levatola, but be considered a tzaddik l'mivu de'alma. I think that's something worth thinking about. But either way, as it relates to the gemalim that were kulam rishon, I'll just tell you a very interesting tshuva from the Chasam Sofer. The tshuva really has nothing to do with what we're learning, but it's interesting nonetheless. And that is, the tshuva was written in the year 1824, and the context was, there was a chazan in a city, and apparently this chazan was engaged. And this woman that he was engaged to, somehow during 9 months into the engagement, gave birth to a child. And rumors spread that the father of the child was the chazan. He was the shliach tzibur. And people were very upset. They wanted to remove him from his shtela. He's the one that gets up and says, hinini ani mimas. He's the one that represents this kehila of afapi sheni kedai v'hogin l'kach. I guess. But they were very disappointed that he's going to be their shliach tzibur. He's the one that's representing the kehila. And I mean, after all, he just fathered a child out of wedlock. The Eilam was very disappointed. They sent the shiloh to the Chasam Sofer. They wanted the Chasam Sofer to be machriya. What do you do with this chazan? So the first thing the Chasam Sofer says, that it's very nice that people are talking, and azoy retman and mishmist and the gesalach. But at the end of the day, he says he can't be mitzi a person from his chazaka. He says, chas v'sholem, v'moy noymar kein lo yinachnu ben lavram avinu v'nitin yad l'chol ha-pritzos. People are innocent until proven guilty. And you can't just go ahead and start spreading rumors and decide that this person is guilty and now remove him from his position. You take away his parnasa, you take away his chazaka. Mm-hmm. That's not something you have a right to do. So the fact that people are talking, that's not enough of a basis. But it seems like there was more than just the rumor. They had some circumstantial evidence of some sort that would seem to have supported the notion that this chazan was really the father of the child. So the Chasam Sofer said at the end of the tshuva as follows. He says, the emes is like this. He says that I'm afraid that if you're going to remove the chazan, it's going to bring lidei machloikis. And what do we need machloikis for? He says, ki belav hachi ein moitzi rabbi midechen vasam bezman hazeh. Afilu biyomim hanayroim. He says, today, he says, a chazan's not really moitzi the tzibur anymore. Even miyomen ha-meiroim, kishemeniach yodei al sentoroi, v'tsoyek b'kol oirev, atzakose yishmakel. The whole chazan thing is more of a figurehead today than it is any. Once upon a time, the chazan used to be moitzi the oilum davening, person damage my nester. So the chazan would say, chazar sashat, you'd be yoitzit tefillah, but he's not doing that anyways. Al kein ma lonu v'loi v'lohem im yitchu zeh. I don't think it's worth it. And he says, besides, so you're going to remove the chazan and you're going to hire another chazan. He says, you think the other chazan is going to be much better? He says, unfortunately, gam hu yia kamayu b'avay neseinu erabim. And this is the punchline. Because of the masnis, and so if Masechtas Kedushin, kachoshid hachamarim rubam. It discusses over there, who were the Rishon? So in the Mishnah Kedushin, the chamarim were Rishon, and the gamalim were ksheir. In our Braisa, maybe it was in the reverse. But regardless, you have the chamarim, you have the gamalim. These were the people that were considered the Rishon. Because of Agoy, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that's how. Rabbi Yaakov Emden said that was in the days of Chazal. It was the gamalim, it was the chamarim, but in his times, he said the shulchanim. I think these are the money changers. They were the ones that were considered rishon. He says, "Va'imrani zachtech sam soifer." I think lahoisiv gam. Nowadays, the mishayirim ha'elu b'zman hazeh. He says, "Nowadays, I think it's the chazanim." So he says, "The chazanim are all like." He said, "This is what the chazanim are." So he says, "So shkayach, you're going to replace this chazan with another chazan." He goes, "I don't think you're accomplishing that much, and it's for that reason." So what came to mind was something that I heard from the Rav Shlita, Rabbi Shua Abba. He once said over a story that's brought down in the Hakdama to the Sefer in Habadoila. This is a Maisa Shahaya Kachaya that happened with a big tzaddik, Rabbi Yisroel Yoina Halevi Landau. He was the Rav in Kempna. He was a contemporary of Rabbi Kiva Eger. And the Rav said that there are letters that Rabbi Kiva Eger wrote to Rabbi Yisroel Yoina Halevi Landau, the Rav in Kempna, where he asked him for Kameis, for different chaylim that Rabbi Kiva Eger knew. So it was a yid that was a tremendous tzaddik. Either way, Vahi Ayoin, there was a person, his name was Shimon. This Shimon had a beautiful voice, and he somehow made it through the city of Kempna. And he was singing for the Olam, and the Olam was very impressed with his beautiful voice. They decided that they wanted to hire him. And they were going to hire him as a chazan. But before they
hired him, they did a little bit of due diligence, and it turned out that he was a little bit questionable. It wasn't so clear that he was an ois gehalt in a mensch. And a whole tumult and a fight broke out. We should hire him. We shouldn't hire him. They weren't exactly sure what to do. So this Yid, Rabbi Yisroel Yoina Levi Landa, decided that he's going to send a shayla to Rabbi Yosef HaTzadik, who was the son-in-law of the Noida B'Yehuda. He was the Rav in Pozna at the time. And he sent him the shayla. And he sent him the shayla b'zeh ha-nosach. He writes, Shimin Zeh. That was the name of the chazen. Doiresh kol ha-esem shebetayra. He dashes all the esem shebetayra. Es ha-chazir. Ve'es ha-treifa, ve'es ha-nevela. This was a play on words. Essen in Yiddish means to eat. Es chazer, he has treifa, he eats nevela. But even she gil es Hashem lekechatira. But when he came to es Hashem lekechatira, pirish. Then already he was pirish. Shimon Ramsuni, right? So he said, Shimon says, Doirish kol essen shebetayra. Es ha-chazir, ves ha-treifa, ves ha-nevela. But when it came to es Hashem lekechatira, pirish, he has no Yerushalayim. And that was the question. The question is, what should we do? And Rabbi Yosef HaTzadik, the Edom of the Noid Behuda, sent back to Rabbi Yisroel Yoina Levi Landau, the Kempner Rav. He told him, "Bezeh Haloshem, Mutav Lahamet Selim Behechol, Val Yar B'Machloikis B'Yisroel." That was what he told. That was his psak. He said that to remove him now and to get involved was going to be, he said, "No Machloikis, that's my psak." So whatever, forget about it. He's a chazen, he's not a oif, but either way, this is another chazen. Here you have Shimon Zeh, who's Dairish Kalasin Shabbatayres, and a Velas, a Chazir, there's a Trefa, Bakimin Shegiras, a Shabbat Kachatayr. Pierce, you have a Meister Shahoya Kachoya that's brought down in the Sefer Eina B'Doylach, and you have a tshuva from the Heilige Chassam Sofer. Another tshuva that came to mind. And this is from the Chassam Sofer, and this one is mentioned in Evena Ezer Chelik Beis. So this is a tshuva with regards to the halachas of Shliach Lahilacha. Believe it or not, we spoke this out when we learned Masechtas Gittin Daf Beis. So that was a long time ago. Maybe get me din sayam. Tzarach sheyoymar b'fanai nechtav u'b'fanai nechtav. And it's for that reason, if someone's going to be a Shliach Lahilacha and he's going to bring a get me din sayam, he has to be someone that's kosher le'edos. Because to say b'fanai nechtav, you have to be a kosher eid. That is Hagadas Eidos, and it constitutes Kiyam Shtaris. You have to be someone that could do a Kiyam Shtaris. That's Pashid. A Shliach Lo Ilacha that's going to say, B'fanai Nechta, Bezin's going to rely on what he said, has to be someone that's able to, say such an Eidos. Stating that, there's a very big Chiddush from the Rambam that's brought down to Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says that even a Shliach Lo Ilacha that's bringing a get that already has Kiyam Shtaris, even such a shliach lahilacha has to be someone that's kosher leedus. Very big kiddush. That in order to be a shliach lahilacha for a get, even if you're not saying b'fanai nechta, it's an Eretz Yisrael, or it's shiaris mitzuyas l'kaimai, or this kiyam shtaris. So it's not necessary. You know for sure it's a kosher get. All you are is you're the shikingol. Your job is to bring it from point A to point B. But if you're someone that would be possible leedus, as I state in Rambam, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch in Evan Ezra Simin Kuf Mem Aleph. Sif Cotton Lamed Gimel, it's brought down as a Yesh place. Either way, the tshuva that the Chassam Sofer wrote was regarding that topic. That's what the Chassam Sofer was discussing. And the Chassam Sofer said, "You want to know? Do you have to be chayish for this?" So he says, "I'm going to tell you the truth. That I'll tell you a Meisah Shahaya Kachaya." He said that I was once by Rav Meshulam Igra. I was by Rav Meshulam Igra. Rav Meshulam Igra was a famous goyin. And I was very young at the time, and somebody brought a shliach, it was a shliach leilacha, they brought a get to Rav Meshulam Igra. And Rav Meshulam Igra started going and looking at and he was being baidik, the harsha that a shliach has to have to prove that he was appointed as a shliach to be able to bring this get. And the Chassam Sofer asked him, "Why are you being medactic so much on this harsha?" So he told him, "Because today everybody is becheskas that the apostle Eidus." So he said, "Wow, everyone's becheskes that the apostle Eidos." He said, "Why?" He says, "Because everybody shaves today. They shave. So what?" No, that's not the punchline. The punchline is that the chosha that they shave with a razor. So he said, that's the problem. And the Chassam Sofer, this is really getting daf base, not needed daf yodalad, but he brings a raya from here to this shiloh of whether you do have to or don't have to be concerned with this Ramah. But either way, here he had a tshuva with the Chassam Sofer, where the Chassam Sofer was talking about how people were chashin on shavers. Now, there's another tshuva about that, and that's a tshuva from the Noidabi Yehuda, right? The Noidabi Yehuda has a famous kula that if somebody shaves before Yontif, he's allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed. Moshe brings us in a tshuva. People are saying this Noida B'Yehuda, based on a Rabbeinu Tam in the beginning of Perek Eilu Megalcha. And then Yehuda writes in his tshuva that he had this kula, he had this hat that's sitting in his drawer for a very, very long time. He didn't want to issue it. He said, "The reason I didn't want to issue it is because we have a big problem in Prague. There's a very big problem. There are people that shave with razors. and I'm mechiach them very much about the fact that they shave with razors. And he said, what is it going to look like? Here, I talk so much about the chaymer of shaving with razors. And then I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to issue this phenomenal kula, that even though you're not allowed to shave on chalamay, but maybe if you shave before yontif, it's okay. So he said, I don't want to do that. So the Rebbe Yehuda also acknowledged this phenomena, where people were very, very, for whatever reason, lax when it came to the isser of shaving with a razor. And as a result, the Rebbe Yehuda said, I didn't want to issue a kula, which I think is oiska halten. And instead, and then the Rebbe Yehuda said, he made a cheshbon that he thought it would, that it made actually more sense to issue the kula. Again, that's from the Masechtas Ma'akan, Ayin Sham. But regardless, so people, the chazonim were chashid, you have the chamarim, you have the gamalim, people that when it comes to shaving with razors, that's the first two chasam seifers. So I see, it got late early, just one final ara, and that is the Gemara said that even though Rabbi Yossi was Rebbe's Rebbe, meaning he was technically greater than Rebbe, but Rab Chomer Bar Bisa, who was apparently a very, very impressive Yid, Mishtabach Le Rebbe, Le Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Rab Chomer Bar Bisa, Adam Gadolu. He wanted to hear Rebbe's Psak in Hilchas Nida, more so than he wanted to hear Rabbi Yossi's Psak. And the reason he wanted to is because Rebbe was a Reish Mesifta. He was a big Rosh Yeshiva. So in addition to Rebbe being a Nasi, he was Torah V'Gedula, he was the manig of, the author of the Mishnah. He was also Rosh Yeshiva. And he was Shchichi Rabbanan Kameh, and because it was Shchichi Rabbanan Kameh, it was Mechadad Yishmaitze. So it turned out that his halachos were Mechadad Yishmaitze. There's a tshuva from the Chasam Sofer, and this tshuva is in Choshin Mishpat, it's in Simen Tes. The tshuva was written to Rav Tzvi Hirsch Lerin. Remember Rav Tzvi Hirsch Lerin? So we spoke about Rav Tzvi Hirsch Lerin in the beginning of the Masechtas Erechim. Tzvi Hirsch Lerin is mentioned in Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, Simen Reish Gimel. So we learned Reish Gimel, Reish Hey, and Reish Ches all this week. So Simen Reish Gimel, that's the tshuva that the Chasam Sofer wrote about the Churvishul. So Rav Tzvi Hirsch Lerin was a banker. He lived in Amsterdam. He was also a tremendous Talmud Chacham. The Chasam Sofer had unbelievable erech for him. And he was designated as the one to be in charge of all monies that flowed from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. It had to go through Rav Tzvi Hirsch Lerin. There were takonis and cherims that were put in place. So any yid that went from Eretz Yisrael, any shlucha de rachmana that would come to Chutz La'aretz to try to raise money for his family, he wasn't allowed to. Every dollar that went from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael had to go through Rav Tzvi Hirsch Lerin. Either way, when the settlers wanted to rebuild the Churvishul, so they were lobbying Rav Tzvi Hirsch Lerin. He didn't want to allow them to do it. They wanted to put him in Cherim based on an obscure halacha that if someone's ma'akiv as a rabbin from doing a mitzvah, he's chayiv nidoy. And they asked the Chasam Sofer, and the Chasam Sofer and the Rechaim Simen Reish Gimel wrote a tshuva about the Churvishul in the old city in Eretz Yisrael, and he paskin not to build a shul. Either way, that was the tshuva of Chasam Sofer. So this tshuva was also written through Rav Tzvi Hirsch Lerin. The shayla over here was also, it's a money related shayla. It's very interesting, where there was a man that died. And he wrote in his will, he was a tremendous gevir, and he wrote in his will that he wants the apotropos to take the money that he leaves over, and he wants him to distribute it in a certain way. One of the things he wanted was that he should find a young bacher, someone between the age of 10 and 15, a real child prodigy, and he wants that his keren should go towards this person's education. And they should send him to a yeshiva, and they should set him up, that he should vaksoyis to be a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he was dedicating a real amount of money for this child. They were going to develop a keren. He'd be able to sin and learn. It would be a schus for this nifter's neshama. One of the tenayim was that he has to go out of town. He has to go to an out-of-town yeshiva. He can't learn in town. He has to go to out-of-town yeshiva. Either ways, they found the boy. It was a rough son. They sent him to an out-of-town yeshiva. And after a year and a half, something happened with the yeshiva. I don't know if it closed down, but it wasn't a gay for this child to learn in the yeshiva anymore. So he ends up coming home, and this boy's father decided that he already went out of town. They were Mekayim Divrei Ames. At this point, he thinks it makes more sense for him to stay in town, and he wants him to learn by him. Not just that, what he wanted to do was he felt that his son needs a good chavrusa, so he wanted to take the money, and he was willing to be mevater on behalf of his son, that the son will take only half the money, and the other half of the money that was set aside, the stipend, should go to the chavrusa. And the Shaila was sent to the Chassam Sofer, could you do this? The Maaseh, this person wrote in the will that he has to go out of town. He wrote in the will that all the money is going to go for this child. There were some other Shailas as well. And they sent to the Chassam Sofer, a Tzvi Herr Schlern, who had this relationship with the Chassam Sofer. So it seems like he had open access. So he was able to get the Shaila in, and he sent, this was the Shaila that he sent to Chassam Sofer. He says, we need a Psak Halacha. Incidentally, it's amazing how the Chassam Sofer, the covet that he gives him, he calls him Harav Hanogid Hamafursim Tzadik Viniskov. Rav Herr Schlern gives him tremendous cover, does he? He was a banker, does the Chassam Sofer. But either way, he writes to him like this. He said, Poshet Yoiser Mibeya Bekutcha Sheyafa Asa. He says, one thing I want to tell you, that this person wrote in his will that he wants that the person that he's going to support should go out of town, it wasn't Stam his Mishagas. What he did was Yafa Asa, Uminig Aviseinu V'Rabiseinu HaKadmoinim Nieg, Sheherchiku Nodin Mibesam. This was a minig, an old custom in Klal Yisrael, that boys would go learn out of town. Laharchik atzma migagu'e avoysam u'midaigas ishu ubonim. V'afilu Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Listen to this first raya. Even Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Asher kol Yisrael ishkimu l'pischa. All of Klal Yisrael was at his front door. U'shchichi misifte gabei tvei. The Gemara that we just learned, he sent his son to go learn for 12 years out of town. The Gemara tells all the stories of Yakim, all the stories of people that went away to learn for 12 years. One of them was Reb Shimon, who was Rebbe's son. Reb Shimon by Rebbe is going, what does he have to go out of town for? His father's a yeshiva, the biggest yeshiva. I mean, why would he go away? Think about the shimosh and everything that he would have gotten. So he said, there was an idea that this was the right thing to do. Toich Dvarav, this beautiful tshuva from the Chassam Sofer. Again, Chayshu Mishpatim and Taz. The Chassam Sofer says, I think with this you can answer Akasha. He says, we know that Yosef, that Yaakov Avinu was punished with Yosef for the years that he wasn't Mekayim Kibur Avei. Stating that, the Gemara in the end of the first paragraph of Masechtas Megillah makes a cheshbon that there's 14 years that he wasn't punished for. Why not? Those were the 14 years that Yaakov Avinu was hidden in the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'ever. The Lamedcha, Shegedoy L'Talmud Torah, Yosef Mekibur Avei. Right? And that's why he wasn't punished for the 14 years that he was learning Torah. Freit Techzam Sofer, B'tzarechin. Dilma, how do you know it was those 14 years that he wasn't punished for? There was another 14 years. Maybe it was the 14 years that Yaakov worked in Beis Lavan, where he was being mekayim the mitzvah Puravu, because Godol period v'rivya yaisa mikibud aveim, right? Puravu leisov v'rava leshevus yitzara. It's always a mitzvah rabba. You're not allowed to sell sefer Torah. Lumay Torah v'lisisha. So how do you know it was the lumay Torah? He said maybe it was the lisa isha. And he says, by the way, if you're not sure which is adif, what's adif? Puravu or kibud aveim? Some say it's a pasuk. It's one of the first pasuk in the Torah. Al kein yazavish as other the imay v'davak beishtei. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Zok tchassam sofer. So he says, how do you know? Val yudal shubeis v'neh. Maybe it's just the opposite. And the chassam sofer says v'tzorich ian l'chayra. I think it's tzorich ian. Zok tchassam sofer. He says, you know what the Torah says? Because pruvu and kibud aveim, you could be mekayim shneim. It's actually mekayim shneim. It's not a stira. Torah and kibud aveim is a stira. Because leave that Torah, you have to go away from your family. You have to go away from your parents. It's not shayach otherwise. You see, Rab Shimon Bar Rebbe went away. That's how Chazal knew it was Talmud Torah. You're right. Pruvu is a bigger mitzvah in the scheme of things than kibud aveim. Al kein yazavish asav v'simoy. That's the nature. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the derech eretz of the world. That's how, the way Hashem created the bria. That there's a time when you're in your parents' house and then you move on. But at the same time, it's maybe Efshel Kayim Shneim. And there was a time on Yaakov Avinu, maybe he should have figured out a way while he was being Oisik in Puravu, he was having a family in Beis Lavan. Maybe he should have been Oisik in the midst of Kibbutz Avei. But the 14 years in Shev David, there was no time on. Because that's what they used to do. They went away to learn for 12 years and 12 years. Vaisais, because in the Mitzius of Liman HaTorah, it's for a person to go away from his family. That's the answer to the Tzorech Iyam L'chayra, says the Chassam Sofer. We're leaving a tshuva on the table. It is what it is. Shraya.